The St. Lawrence isn't just a river. It's a seaway, an aquatic interstate for ocean freighters rumbling into the Great Lakes. So it's not strange I'm in a boat floating just upstream from one of the river's highway signs, a seaway navigation marker. We're not talking about a plastic buoy here. It's a fixed concrete column rising 8 feet above the water. Its platform is big enough that you can walk around on it. On top, a tall steel tower holds a red light and signs that serve as channel markers for seaway traffic. But for the conservationists I'm tagging along with, this is bird habitat. We sit in silence and listen to the call of the common tern. Dozens of small white birds with pointy wings and black caps swoop above our heads. They soar, suspended, then suddenly dive into the water. Their orange beaks snap at minnows just below the surface, then they shoot back up into the air.
This particular colony was formerly the largest and most productive common tern colony on the entire lower Great Lakes.
Biologist Lee Harper is known as the tern guy in this part of the Great Lakes. He's tagged thousands of them and recorded them as far away as Brazil. He documented the common tern's dramatic decline over the past 20 years. Gull and osprey populations exploded, displacing the more sensitive terns from their nesting sites. But today, Harper peers through binoculars and grins.
The terns we're seeing here today represent the first nests on this site in almost 10 years.
Terns don't need much to nest, just a dry, isolated spot near water. Harper noticed the refugee terns were retreating to navigation markers like this one. They'd lay eggs on its concrete platform. The problem was the eggs would roll around and the birds would abandon them. So Harper enlisted volunteers to lug 5 tons of gravel out here. They spread it out on the platform with shovels so the terns would lay their eggs on top of the gravel and the eggs wouldn't roll. Susie Wood was among them.
The first time I saw it, it was a piece of concrete. And I frankly thought that Lee was a little bit cracked when I heard about it.
That was 2 summers ago. Today's the first day the volunteers have returned. They're going to count nests and eggs to see how the gravel is working. We inch the boat up to the marker and huddle under the canvas top in case the birds dive bomb our approach. Then we tie up to an iron ladder that leads up to the concrete platform. One by one, we climb the ladder and peer over the platform's rim.
This is a beautiful nest right here.
Lee Harper is right behind, and he's beaming.
After 10 years with no terns here, that's really a wonderful sound.
Almost invisible amongst the gravel and weeds are clusters of brown spotted eggs. We walk on tiptoe, look before every step, careful not to crush
another
a nest. Harper works quickly to minimize the disturbance. He calls out the number of eggs he sees. A volunteer takes notes on a clipboard.
A 3-egg nest. A mallard nest with 8 eggs. Another 3-egg nest.
Harper was here 2 weeks ago and counted 18 nests. Today, there are 40 common tern nests. Volunteer David Duff is impressed.
It was just such a simple thing to do. I mean, $120 worth of gravel. And 2 or 3 hours and half a dozen people helping with buckets, 5-gallon buckets of gravel, and I think we have a victory, at least a preliminary victory.
The gravel nests are starting to catch on. The St. Lawrence Seaway Development Corporation is spreading gravel on navigation markers all along the seaway. Groups in Michigan are planning similar restoration efforts, using dredging spoils from the St. Mary's River. They're man-made solutions, but ones that just might restore the common tern population to health in the Great Lakes. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, I'm David Summerstein.